Well, good morning. I love the Christmas season. I know you probably got sick of hearing me say that last year. Well, it's back. I love it. I love to talk about it. I love dressing for Christmas, as you can see. I just love everything about Christmas season because I think one of the big reasons for me was it gave me an excuse to be up at my grandmother's and spend pretty much the whole month of December with her. And, you know, she always had nice snacks and treats and all that fun stuff as we wrapped presents and did all that fun stuff. And it brings that all back for me. And that's what Christmas is for me, is that her style of Christmas. So like in our house, you only hear usually like Mannheim Steamroller or Trans-Siberian Orchestra or the Frank Sinatra Holiday Station. Like that's all we get. Like none of that Mariah Carey garbage, all right? So just the older stuff. Like that's what Christmas is. I hope you enjoy the season as well. I hope you're excited to celebrate the birth of our Savior, not just for the music and the food and, you know, the gatherings and things like that. But have you ever noticed how Christmas can sometimes feel busier instead of better? We kind of hype ourselves up if you're like of my spirit. You kind of hype yourself up for Christmas. You get excited for it. Like as soon as we put the tree away, like I'm looking forward to the next Christmas and, you know, thinking of like how quickly is it going to come? Can't wait for the next Christmas season and all the gatherings and, you know, all the fun stuff around Christmas and celebrating Christ and how, you know, we'll have people in our church who usually don't go to church. We have an opportunity to preach the gospel to people and people are generally just nicer and kinder during the Christmas season, all of that stuff. And yet, when it shows up, sometimes it's everything but better. It's just busier. Seems like the one season meant to slow our hearts down becomes the season that speeds everything up. We race through the stores, our schedules, gatherings, to-do lists, like the world might fall apart if we don't get to all of it, like if we don't do everything. We have to do the work Christmas party and the church Christmas party. We got to be a part of the Cradle of the Cross. We got to be at the Christmas concert. We got to do all these things. We got to be at the family gatherings, the 15 different family gatherings, because nobody gets along, so we got to go to 15 different ones so that everybody's not mad at each other and all these crazy things that happen. We race through it. I've heard it said before, December is when we celebrate the Prince of Peace by stressing ourselves half to death. Like as if that's a worthy offering to God to celebrate his birth by cramming our schedules full of more stuff than we can handle and making ourselves miserable so that when we finally get to Christmas, we breathe a sigh of relief as if it's like, oh, we finally got to the finish line of all the busyness, of all the anxiety, of all the craziness. Christmas promises comfort and joy. But many of us enter and leave December tired, stretched, and overwhelmed. Some of you are already feeling that this morning. And unless you broke the law, you didn't start Christmas till Friday, right? You didn't put your tree up or any decorations, right? We're just starting the Christmas season, and some of us, you've probably already said, I can't wait till this is just over. I can't wait till we just get past Christmas. I can't wait till January 1st. Like, you're already done with the anxiety and the craziness and all of the stuff that tends to come with the Christmas season. And yet, ironically, the songs that we hear in the mall or on the radio or wherever you're listening to music preach a better gospel than the pace we live. Somebody was to look at our life as we walked through the Advent season, as we engaged in December, whether that's at our work or in our neighborhood or, you know, whoever it is. Does the way we live our lives, does our demeanor, our perspective, our attitude, does it preach a gospel about the coming Savior and the one that we worship, or does it just preach commercialism like so many others who don't know Christ? The song that we just sang, which I'll do you the favor of not singing, says, God rest, ye merry gentlemen. Let nothing you dismay. Remember Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day. What if this Christmas could feel different for us? What if by the time we got to December 25th, your heart was full, not empty? What if when you got to that morning where you get to celebrate the Savior, it would have been with anticipation growing instead of frustration growing? Lighter, steadier, calmer, because our souls were actually at rest. Today I want to make one thing abundantly clear as we discuss this idea of rest, is that rest isn't the absence of problems, it's the presence of trust. Some of us, we want rest, but in our minds we think, well, rest means that there's no problems. Nothing is going bad around me. Everything is smooth, and that's just not reality. One of the things I do when I do premarriage counseling with couples is I try to set expectations for them, like, listen, you have this whole wedding day planned, and that's great, but you need to understand when something goes wrong, don't lose your cool. Don't let it ruin your day. It never happens where everything goes perfectly. So live with that expectation. If you think that a perfect wedding day means nothing goes wrong, you're missing it, and it's going to ruin your day. The same goes true for our life. If we think the perfect Christmas season is one where there are no problems and no stressors, that's just not going to happen. Rest isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of trust. In the midst of that, do you trust God when things don't go well, when there's a stress? Here's maybe the surprising part of that song. The word rest in "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen" doesn't mean take a nap, right? Some of you, when you hear the word rest, that's what comes to your mind. Rest equals nap. I just want to not be conscious of all of the things on my plate and everything that's going on right now. What it means is remain, stay, be held steady. The same way that the word arrest means that something or someone is held in place. This carol is saying, may God hold you steady and keep you joyful by helping you remember Jesus. That's the heart of that awesome song. And that's what we need in Advent, a season meant to remind us that real rest comes from remembering who God is and what God has done. Without that, we can have no true rest. Today, we begin our Advent series of comfort and joy, and we start with a very simple truth that God wants to hold us steady in a restless world. See, rest means remaining, not retreating. When we think of rest, often we picture a break, a nap, or a moment without responsibility. That's what a rest is. You know, if I come home from work and like usual, you know, like our house is absolute chaos and things are crazy and kids are screaming and one's crying and one's throwing something. You know, what I can do for my wife is say, hey, I'll manage the kids. You go take a rest. What does that mean? You have a few moments with no responsibility. I'll manage these feral animals for just a few moments, okay? That's what we think of at times when we think of rest. But the song, God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen, uses the Latin restare, which means to stay, to continue, to remain, or be strengthened. It's not a break from reality. It's strength inside reality. Rest means staying rooted in God while everything else moves around us. While everything is chaos around us or commercialized around us or focused on gifts and getting and giving, that we remain rooted in Christ. Isaiah chapter 26 makes a pretty clear promise. If you have a copy of God's word, I encourage you, flip on over to Isaiah and keep your finger there because we will return to Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 26. Verses 3 and 4. And this is the heart of our sermon this morning. It says, you keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for the Lord God is an everlasting rock. God doesn't say, you keep yourself in perfect peace. This is on your shoulders. It's your responsibility. This you can just do by being disciplined. You need to do this. That's not what he's saying. He says, I keep you there. That God is the one that keeps us in perfect peace because we keep our mind stayed on him. He holds us steady. He guards our minds. He strengthens our heart. He surrounds us with his peace. It's all about him. There was a time in my life, which some of you know a bit of my story, where I had just gotten to college and of my freshman year. So I'm new to this whole thing. Nobody in my family's ever gone to college. So I'm the first one to kind of get out and go to college. And I was there, I think, for about 3 days at college. And I got a call from my mom, and she started the conversation off with, everybody's okay, which is not the way you want to start a conversation, when I'd only been there for 3 days. And she said, what had happened was that my dad had tried to burn our house down while my mom and my brothers were sleeping the night before. While they were in there, he tried to burn it down. So I immediately began to pack my bags. I was leaving college. I was done. I was already carrying guilt from leaving my brothers to fend for themselves while I went away to college. I was already uneasy about it because I felt like I was abandoning them. It was in that moment that God met me in one of the most powerful moments of my life. I remember hearing God ask me if I really thought that me going home and giving up on his call on my life was really the better idea, that as if I could handle the situation better than he could, like I could be in better control than him. I remember God impressing upon me the reality that he was in control. In the midst of a situation that felt completely out of control, where I felt completely helpless and like I had failed my family, a peace came over me that I did not understand as I resigned myself to trust God in the midst of a situation like that. That moment, which taught me something that I had never known about God's peace. See, I went to college a very immature Christian. I had grown almost nothing. I did not grow a lot since coming to know Christ. And so I entered college not really knowing a whole lot about God or about who he was. And so this experience taught me something about God's peace that I had never known. And it's why you'll hear me often reference Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7, because it was those verses that meant so much to me in that moment. If you have a copy of God's Word, flip on over again to Philippians chapter 4, verse 7. And it was this verse that really struck home for me. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That verse became very real to me in that moment. I understood the idea of that. I'm sure I had heard the verse before, but I didn't understand this peace of God that passes understanding. Some of you have been in moments in your life where you have experienced the peace that I'm talking about. You've been in very difficult moments, difficult seasons, where this peace comes over you. It defies reason and logic. And if you know me, that's hard for me to get around. I'm a very logical and reason-oriented person. Things have to make sense. They have to have proof. They have to be verifiable. And so when that peace came over me, which made absolutely no sense to me because my situation didn't change, things did not become less chaotic. They didn't just erase all of the problems, but there was a peace that was there. Defies reason and logic, but it is so profound that it changes us. When in a moment of absolute chaos or pain or hurt, or when you get that diagnosis, you lean on Christ, you trust in him, and a peace comes on you that you know is not of you, that you know makes no sense based on your circumstances, and yet it's no less real. And you know this is the presence of the living God in my life right now. It teaches us what rest really means. and a song like "God Rest Ye Merry Gentlemen." That song takes on a different meaning because you understand what true rest is, a rest that goes beyond any really good nap you've ever taken or a moment of responsibility or vacation or destination you've ever been, because in a moment that was the darkest for you, Christ wrapped you in his arms and you felt complete peace. So if rest means remaining in God, the question becomes, how do we stay anchored there? Well, it's not by retreating from life. It's remaining in God. See, if in that moment I just said, you know what, I just need to watch a TV show, that wouldn't fix anything. I promise you, I wouldn't have felt peaceful after just binging some shows or playing a video game or going on a vacation. Like, that doesn't equal rest. And some of you know what I'm talking about. You've been in those moments where no vacation would have fixed it. No binge watching a show or distracting yourself would fix it. Rest is not retreating, it's remaining. But how do we stay there? Well, we rest when we remember who God is. Peace doesn't come from knowing how everything will work out. See, there's almost this lie that Satan convinces us of, that if we just knew the future, if we just knew the next few steps, everything would be okay. So let's just test this out for a moment. If, say, this time last year, God said, okay, I'm going to tell you all of the trials that you're going to go through in 2025. Anybody else would have felt like super peaceful if God laid out for you the whole year? No, you probably would have felt, if you went to college, much like when you, that first day of class when they give you the syllabus and you realize what you're going to have to endure to pass that class, and you're like, oh my gosh, this is so much. Just imagine if God gave us even just 1 year's worth of, this is all the stuff you're going to endure in 2025. Peace would not be the emotion or the expression that we would have in that moment. But we get this lie that if we just knew what was coming, if we just knew the future, we could prepare for it, we could plan for it, and that would fix everything, right? No, that doesn't fix it. But peace comes from knowing the one who holds all things together. I'd rather know that I'm walking with my Savior through the blind, dark, not knowing where the next step is, but knowing that he's right there by my side, then having a clear picture of the whole path and walking it by myself, planning for it by myself, handling it by myself, and feeling like I have to be the one in control. Isaiah chapter 40, I told you we're coming back to Isaiah. Chapter 40, verse 1 and 2. It says, comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and cry to her that her warfare is ended, that her iniquity is pardoned, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. In other words, what God is saying to a hurting and overwhelmed people who are just beyond themselves, rest. I've got you. I am in control. Notice it's not like this new cultural thing that God's thrown out there, like, you got it. You're in control. You've got everything that's on your plate, and you just can handle it because you know me. Like, that's not biblical. He has it under control. We just need to follow him. See, at this time of year, seasonal depression spikes. Anxiety rises. Loneliness increases. Financial pressures intensify. But God doesn't say, fix all of that first. That's what you need to do. You need to worry about that stuff. Get that stuff taken care of. Worry about your finances and depression and all of this. You just need to get rid of all of that, and then you'll have peace. He says, remember me. See, you remember this account where Peter steps out of a boat and walks on water. And God doesn't say, well, you need to handle the waves, and you need to handle the wind, and you need to have control of all of these things, and that'll make you walk better, Peter. What does Christ want Peter to do? Just keep your eyes on me. Just stay locked in here, Peter. I know the waves are crazy. I know the storm is raging. But if Peter had just kept his eyes on Jesus, if you haven't seen that scene in The Chosen, it's perfect. I love it. because his eyes are like totally on Jesus when he first steps out, but then he starts to look around and he starts to see all the chaos, all the craziness, all the stuff, and that's when he begins to sink. When he loses focus of Christ, that's what's most important. God isn't calling you to fix your storm. He's not calling you to manage the chaos. He's not saying to you, you just need to fix it so that you're peaceful. He says, remember me. Keep your eyes on me. Rest happens when our minds return to God is sovereign. God is near. God is faithful. God is kind. God has already won our biggest battle through Jesus. See, the biggest problem you could ever have in your entire life is the fact that you cannot earn eternity. You've already broken it. There's zero chance that you are going to accomplish what it needs to be taken care of to go to heaven. That's the biggest problem you'll ever face, because that's an eternal problem. And Jesus already fixed that problem by dying on the cross and offering us salvation. So whatever's going on in your heart, whether it's your in-laws or that crazy neighbor or all the gifts that you have to buy and trying to find something unique for you know the Secret Santa thing, all of the stresses and anxiety that you have, he can handle that. He handled eternity. He handled the biggest thing we'll ever face. So I, you can trust him, he's got it. You might feel out of control, but he has never lost control. When we remember God's character, we rest in God's care. What situation in your life right now is causing you to question the character of God? And I'm not saying like, oh, I'm considering not being a Christian anymore. It might be, I'm sure, I would bet it's probably a whole lot sneakier than that. You're not even realizing you're questioning the character of God, but you might wonder, does he even care? Is God concerned with these little things? Am I a bother to God? Should I even pray about that? That's us questioning the character of God. See, we rest when we remember what God has done. The carol doesn't just say, God rest you, merry gentlemen. Now go home, you're good. It then tells us how we can rest. It says, remember, Christ our Savior was born on Christmas Day to save us all from Satan's power. I mean, that's the gospel in a Christmas song. It's preaching the gospel. As it says, something very simple, that we can rest in God when we remember that he sent Jesus, that Christ our Savior was born to save us all from Satan's power. The world sings it, most of them without even knowing it. Whoville sings it. I don't know if you watch like the newest animated one. And it's like the at one point in the movie, they're like chasing him and singing, but singing the gospel to him. About how God has come to save us all from Satan's power. Starbucks, I'm sure. Walk in there, you'll hear Christmas carol after Christmas carol. Shopping malls will echo it. But we know the truth behind the tune. Jesus came to rescue us from everything that steals our joy and seeks to rob us of what God intends for us. He came to rescue us from sin, from fear, from shame, from spiritual exhaustion, from the lie that we need to be our own Savior, that you need to figure it out, that you have to have it all together, that you've got to be the one that earns your salvation. When we remember what God has done, we stop trying to carry what Jesus already carried. See, there's only one person that could have carried that cross. Jesus doesn't tell us, carry my cross. He says, carry your cross. Pick up your cross. We can't carry the Savior's cross. We can't win salvation for ourselves. You'll never be good enough to earn heaven. When you stand before him one day, you may think right now, you'll try to convince him of all the good things that you've done, all the money you've given, all the things that you have done to pile up for yourself good works. But I promise when you stand before the one and perfect and holy God, it'll seem so silly to you. Because you'll realize that none of that matters. The only thing that matters is what we've done with Jesus. Was he our Savior, or was he just a good story? Was he just a reason to get together during the holidays and trade gifts and do parties and all of these other things? When we walk into the week remembering the cross, the empty tomb, and the presence of the Spirit, we don't just feel different. We walk different. We live different. We have a different perspective. We rest knowing who he is and what he's done. Because we force our soul to remember a truth that's found in Psalm 116, verse 7, says, "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." See, in a moment of chaos during this season, when you feel like everything's out of control, when you forget whatever that thing is that you were supposed to do, or you miss that appointment, or all of these things go off the wall, or you know that what one family member tells you that they're not coming to your party because you invited the other person that they don't want to be around, and you're trying to figure out, what do I do with all of this? Just remember. Stop. Maybe even write them down. I know for me it helps to write them down, because when I just try to remember things off the top of my head, it doesn't go so well. But sometimes seeing them right in front of you, begin to write down all the things that God has done for you. And that moment of chaos, see, that's the thing about Philippians chapter 4, verse 6. It says, "With thanksgiving, make your requests made known to God." It's that attitude of thanksgiving, of gratitude, that changes our perspective, that changes our minds in that moment. That's what this is saying. "Return, O my soul, to your rest, for the Lord has dealt bountifully with you." It's saying, rest, rest, soul. Remember what God has done. Remember how good he has been. What if this Christmas season, instead of allowing the anxiety and the frustration and the busyness to win, instead we chose to force our souls to remember how good God is, how good God has been. See, we rest when we fix our minds on the right things. That verse in Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3 again said, "Whose mind is stayed on you." The word "stayed" means supported, upheld, or anchored. If any of you have ever had a toddler, you know those little puffs that they sell? What happens when they hear? Just hear it. If you start to get that little container of puffs out and you have a toddler, all of a sudden, nothing else in the world matters in that moment. And they will not be quieted or comforted until they have puffs in their mouth and all over their hand and on everything that you own. I don't know if you've ever seen a toddler do that. If not, go serve in the nursery once and pull out a can of puffs. Watch what happens as you get assaulted by the toddlers. They all know the sound. What happens? Their mind gets stayed on that thing. And it's all they can think about. It's all that they worry about. It's the only thing that matters in that moment. That's what we're talking about, having our minds stayed on Christ, so focused on him that nothing else matters, that nothing could distract us. Imagine if Peter, when he walked on the water that time, if he could have kept his mind stayed on Jesus, he could have sprinted laps around that boat. But it's when he allowed everything else to become the focus, when he became distracted by the size of the waves and by the ferocity of the storm and all of the outside other circumstances that Jesus had under control. He just let his mind get focused on that. His mind was not stayed on Jesus. Here's the spiritual principle. Your mind will rest where your thoughts remain. If my thoughts remain on stress and all the things that I have to do and all the worries that and the what ifs and all of these things, then, well, I'm going to stay stressed. If my thoughts remain on fear and all the things that could go wrong and all this, I'm going to stay afraid. But if my thoughts remain on God, then I stay in his peace. This is why Advent matters. It slows us down enough to point our thoughts back to Christ. Imagine the difference if we went through December with our minds stayed on God's promises, God's presence, God's power, God's goodness, God's faithfulness, if those were the thoughts that were the strongest because we forced our mind to think about them and to stay on them. Joy wouldn't be a moment where we recenter ourselves for just a brief moment in the midst of the chaos and we walked back out and got swept up in the chaos again. It would become a mindset that we walked through the storm in. Remember how Philippians 4:7 tells us that God will give us a peace that passes understanding. Well, if you keep reading in chapter 4, the next two verses help us understand how we can stay in that place, how we can keep the peace that we've received from God instead of letting Satan back into our emotions. Philippians chapter 4, verses 8 and 9 say, "Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence, if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you." That's how you keep peace from being a moment and keep it as a mindset. Is that when the world is trying to scream at you and tell you, this is what matters, these things are important, you have to have a bunch of gifts, you have to have the perfect gifts, you have to do the perfect crafts with your kids, you got to get the perfect pictures with your family, all of these other things have to just be perfect. And instead we choose to set our minds on what is honorable, what is just, what is pure, what is lovely, those things which are commendable and excellent. And we do that sometimes, dozens of times a day, we have to recenter our minds on that. Committed to staying focused and stayed on Christ. How do we do that? What does this look like in the Advent season? Well, first, I'd encourage you to anchor your mind daily. Don't wait a couple weeks until the stress hits, until things get real, until you've got like three parties in one week and you're stressing out about what to make and bake and all these things. But this week, take 5 minutes every morning. And maybe just read one Advent verse and focus on it. Options like Isaiah 9:6, Luke chapter 2, verses 10 and 11, John 1:14, Isaiah 40:1-5, or maybe the verses from our Advent reading today, Romans chapter 15, verses 12 and 13, or Isaiah 7:14. And as you read these and spend 5 minutes focusing, just ask yourself a very simple question. What does this show me about who God is? Don't just ask the question, answer the question. Force your mind to remember who he is and what he's done. As you read those verses, ask, who does this show me? What does this show me about who God is? Next, I'd encourage you, slow one thing down. Pick one area of your December life to intentionally slow. Maybe this means you just make a commitment. I'm going to leave the house 5 or 10 minutes earlier than I always do so that my morning drive doesn't become a rush, doesn't become chaos and anxiety, but I can spend that drive in peace. I can spend some time with my Savior maybe, just thanking God for all that he's done instead of worrying about what time it is. Am I going to be late? And that person that gets in front of you that's going too slow and now you're just angrier because you've left 10 minutes early. It's okay. You just get to spend that time at peace with God. Any of you, when you go to check out in a grocery store, you like scan it and you have to find the shortest line. Like you, and then you feel shame when that person that came after you gets through the line before you. Or am I? I'm just the only one. Okay. Maybe it means you deliberately choose the longer grocery line and use those moments to breathe and remember God. Maybe instead of worrying about, did I get the fastest line and why is this lady digging through her whole purse trying to find the one credit card that she doesn't have and all these things happening and now she needs a price check and there's all these things. Instead, you purposely choose the long line. And maybe you just spend a few moments, you pray for the people in line in front of you. Pay for the cashier. Pay for the person bagging the groceries. You spend some time praying for your family, for the difficult situations that you know you're going to endure. And you force yourself to slow down instead of just getting swept up in the chaos. Make space for rest to actually happen. Next, I'd encourage you, remember what's already true. Write down three truths, whichever ones that you feel like are most prominent to you or ones that you need reminded of the most. God is with me. God is for me. God is working in me. Put them somewhere that you're going to see them, whether that's on your steering wheel, your dashboard, or a mirror in your home, and you're going to be forced to see them multiple times a day to be reminded of what's already true, the things that the busyness, the chaos, the frustration will try to convince you aren't true. Next, I'd encourage you, practice a rested response. When something frustrates you this week or this season, instead of reacting, breathe. And either say it out loud or just whisper it to yourself, God, keep my mind stayed on you. Satan's creeping in. He's trying to distract me. He's trying to get me focused on the waves. The storm is looking real bad right now. I just need to keep my eyes on you. And lastly, I'd encourage you, choose worship over worry. Turn on a carol with actual gospel content. I love my Mannheim Steamroller, but there's not a whole lot of gospel content there. Some good jingles, some good tunes, but man, it's awesome to listen to some of those songs that just have amazing theology and remind us of God's goodness and of his love and what this season really is all about. Let your heart worship while the world rushes, because rest grows where worship lives. So how do we keep this in focus? Well, we rest by remembering. We remember by fixing our minds on the Lord. And when our minds stay on him, God keeps us steady. God rests you, not by removing every burden, but by holding you through them. Again, reasonable expectations are not that because you know Jesus, that you're going to be happy, happy, happy all the time, right? You all know I hate that song, right? How I'm happy, happy, happy all the time. That's garbage. That's never true. Bad theology. That's not a good Christmas song or a good song in general. But have the expectation that when things get off the rails, when things go wrong, Christ will be right there with you. And when you focus your mind and your soul on the things that he has done, how he's dealt bountifully with you, all of the ways that he's showed up and showed off in your life, man, the chaos doesn't seem so loud anymore. The waves don't seem so big. The giant isn't quite as large. You'll have real comfort, real joy, and real peace, because rest isn't the absence of problems. It's the presence of trust. Where have you felt your peace slipping already this month? We're just about to step into December. Where has your peace already slipped? What thoughts tend to pull your mind away from God the fastest? What are the things that distract you, that get you all bent out of shape, that get your mind and your eyes off of Jesus? This Advent, may your mind be stayed on God. And may you trust in him, not in his ability to make everything easy, not in his desire to flatten out all the hills so that your life is just a cakewalk. May you not look for the finish line of the holidays. I pray that you don't have this heart that says, man, I just can't wait until it's over. And that you'd actually be able to worship in the midst of this season. That you'd be able to see the Savior it all represents, and you'd meet with him and commune with him this Advent season. We don't need a lighter schedule to have rest. Now, some of us need a lighter schedule. We've crammed it too full. We've got so many things going on that we don't have time for God. We don't have time to do the things he's called us to do. But a lighter schedule is not going to automatically equal rest. We need a closer Savior. We need to know him better. We need to remember who he is. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the truth in your word. Thank you that you are a loving God, that you've already won the biggest battle we'll ever face, that the greatest problem we have ever had was that we could not spend eternity with you based on what we have done. Would we trust in those moments of chaos? Would we trust in those moments where everything seems to have slipped and gone wrong, and where the pressures of the season and the pressures of our work life and our family life and all of the things seem like they're crushing us, and as we're trying to work out logistics for all the holiday parties and people are angry and all of these things are going wrong, would we keep our mind stayed on you? Would we remember Peter walking on the water? And how big the waves must have seemed, and how hard the wind must have been whipping, and how everything in his mortal body, all of his knowledge as a fisherman and common sense said that you are crazy for doing what you're doing. That when his mind and his heart and his eyes were stayed on you, God, everything was okay. And I pray, Lord, that we would take that heart through this entire season, that our eyes would never leave you, and we would worship you and be grateful for you. And this would maybe be the first time in a long time that Christmas was all about you for us and for our families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.